In this conference, we're going to take what we might call the blessings that come to us through prayer in the divine will. Now, in volume 15, all through the conference I've been quoting, but I haven't given you the references. In case you have the books, if you'd like, I'll give you the references so that you can find it. It's in volume 15, pages 48 to 49. Louisa was uniting herself with the divine will and entering every person's mind. Notice that. Every person's mind to repay Jesus with love for each thought of that person. How about that as a way to pray? See? Now keep in mind, with divine will, he says, you're on my level, and it's timeless. So I am with everyone in every person. So you join me there. And when you pray in all of them. I take your wish for the deed, as if you could do it in each one. And so she thought that this might have no use. And then Jesus said, united with my will, if the will of the soul wants to love, the waters of the infinite sea of my love ripple and undulate, and I smell the waves of my love exhaling their heavenly perfume. I experience the pleasure and the joys of my love that have been put into motion by the pebble, meaning your prayer, your little prayer. The prayer of the person's will. If it adores my holiness, the pebble of the human will excites the sea of my holiness, and I feel refreshed by the purest auras, that means the rays of holiness. In a word, whatever the human will wants to do in my will, it is like a pebble thrown into each of the seas of my attributes. I feel my own things given to me, as well as the honors, glory, the love that the soul gives me in a divine manner. Now, if I can comment on that, it means our prayers offered to the divine will stir the infinite attributes of God and bring him pleasure and love. Jesus explained it this way. He said, this is what it means to enter into my will, how good, how lovable, how loving, how holy, immense, and powerful that you are. In other words, saying it to the Lord, you are. You are everything, and I want to stir up everything so as to love you and please you. That's what the Lord here said to him. Now here we see that our prayers of praise, glory, thanksgiving, and love for the Lord in his divine will move these divine attributes in God like waves of heavenly perfume to rejoice and please him. They draw a very blessed response and reaction from God. Now, the power of prayer of adoration, homage, and blessings in the divine will. Again, it revealed to Louisa that leaders of governments were planning terrible defiance of God. This was April 1922, after World War I. He invited Louisa to pray with him to supply for the want of the adoration, homage, and blessings that God deserves. And he said, together with me in my will, let us elevate ourselves between heaven and earth, and let us together adore the Supreme Majesty. Let us bless it, give it homage on behalf of everyone, so that heaven and earth will be filled with adorations, with homages, with blessings, and that everyone may receive their beneficent effects. And then she said that she spent the entire morning praying with Jesus in the divine will in this particular way. As she prayed, the divine will spread the prayers, they said, throughout all created things, and left its mark, namely a blessing, on all of them. Her prayer with Jesus reached into heaven, where all the blessed received the mark and the blessing, together with new happiness. It also descended to earth, and even into purgatory, and everyone received the blessings of their prayers. Although Louisa was very high in holiness, this way of praying with Jesus in the divine will is also possible for us. See? But God's response to her because of where she was also greater. Later, Jesus said to Louisa, did you see the effects of praying in my will? There is no place in which my will does not exist. That means himself, his presence. Every person, every object, animate or inanimate, whatever is, God is there, keeping in existence by his power. It circulates in everything and among all creatures. It is life. It is the door and spectator of all things and everyone. So also, actions done in my will become life. They act and are spectators of everyone, even of the very joy, blissfulness, and happiness of the blessed in heaven. They carry light everywhere, as well as the blessed heavenly influencer, might call the air, of those who radiate joy and happiness. He had the highest praise for such prayerful actions done in his will. He said, "My love and jealousy for them is such that my grace caresses them. My love conceives them, makes them fruitful, ripens them. I place thousands of angels to stand guard over a single action done in my will. Because these actions done in my will are seeds to germinate the doing of my will on earth as it is done in heaven. It's a beginning, what will be." So we are part of that. Here, think of the power of the Mass when celebrated by priests and people in the divine will. And also our prayers, as we say, in the round. Remember how that's something we'll develop on the retreat. Jesus said, "Even the angels are filled with joy and reverence and adore these actions because they see in them the eternal will of God that deserves all their adoration." In other words, it's God doing it with us. Louisa observed that not even the person doing these actions of prayer cannot count them. In other words, the goodness, the effects of it, and know the tremendous blessings that come from them. But Jesus added, "These actions are so great that as the soul accomplishes them, there is nothing in heaven or on earth that does not participate in them. And the soul is brought into communion with all created things, not just a continuous relationship with these souls, but actually become their possessions." These thoughts have to be carefully considered. Doesn't mean you have them in your hand, but you have some influence on them. See, with the Lord, in the life that you live with Him. The soul is in harmony with all creation, and all creation is in harmony with the soul. Because souls who live in my will are repositories, preservers, supporters, defenders of my will. I feel my will duplicated and feel more glorious because of them. I unburden myself with them, place my trust in them. Now, these words apply especially to a soul that lives in the divine will all the time. But we too, as we grow in the habit of living in the divine will, can realize the blessings described here in a limited way. But they do happen. So in other words, the Lord is saying, the way to receive my gift is to consecrate yourself. All right, we've done that, we have the gift. We don't have it all the time. But as we do His will consciously, then these actions take on the value of Jesus doing them with us. See, that's the safe conclusion. From When the Divine Will Reigns, page 44, Jesus made it clear that when we pray in the divine will, it is Jesus who wants to pray in us. He said, "Everything you do or have to do must be done as if I wanted to do it in you." If you pray, you should say, "It is Jesus who prays, wants to pray. I pray together with Him." Now here, I'm leaving out much more. He said, when you talk, when you sleep, when you walk, I'm there too. But here we are talking about prayer. This applies to work, walking, eating, sleeping, awaking, recreation, so on. He said, it should be like that in everything for the rest of your life. So our prayers then are being said by Jesus, take on the value of Jesus doing the praying. Think how powerful these prayers can be when done with Jesus praying in us. Not only glorifying Him, but praying for someone. He's interceding too. What do you think can happen? Anything. All kinds of wonderful things. Now, how to pray? Louisa would often begin praying in these words, "Oh my Jesus, I am nothing." That's true, without you. "You are everything. I pray in your will that here you make your request. Now, Jesus saying that petition with you. Whatever it is, intercession, praise, glory, thanksgiving, whatever. When you enter the divine will, Jesus says, then we can offer all that we have to him. For he says, I pray in you and with you. And he says, it is my holiness that is with you. And all that you do and say in prayer is done with me on my level. So the Father is always pleased with your prayer because your prayer is mine too. Now that should, you know, excite you to no end. You're not just barging in and saying, oh, Heavenly Father, here I am, take it or leave it. No, we pray at will. But now Jesus is praying. What will the Father say? Perfect. See? Often, Louisa entered the divine will by saying, I was fusing myself in the divine will. You know what that means. You melt two pieces of wax, they look like one. You pour a little drop of water in something else, the water loses identity with the vast amount. Or she says, submerging myself in the divine will. Or I swam in the immense sea of the divine will. Or I was lost in the supreme will of my sweet Jesus. Or I was all immersed in the divine will. All same thing, but the concept there is image. On our part, we can make our prayer very personal by saying, Jesus, I pray in your will. Here, make your petition, act of love, reparation, whatever form that prayer takes. Now, apply this way of praying to the many forms of prayer that we perform during the day. First, for example, if you have the Christian prayer, how many of you here today have the Christian prayer? Okay, now that is the prayer book of the church. That's above all other prayer books. Yes, the Liturgy of the Hours. Yes, perfect. It's 1900 years old. It has 150 Psalms. About more than half of it is Scripture. And you have Scripture readings. Then the rest of it is hymns composed by great saints, like Corpus Christi, St. Thomas Aquinas, and many of the other hymns. You have the most beautiful hymns in all the world. So the Christian prayer. Now we should be very conscious that Jesus is saying this prayer with us and in us. Many of the Psalm verses will take on a very special meaning because they refer to Jesus. Like, they dug my hands in my bones, they numbered my bones or whatever, and that particular Psalm. A second form is the Rosary, Mysteries of the 15 Decades. The words of the Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We hasten the fulfillment of these words because Jesus is saying them. See, get the idea that you're not just saying Hail Mary, Jesus ain't with you. And the Our Father. Also the Hail Mary, it's also Jesus saying the words in us to our Blessed Mother. And what a precious insight it has for us. A third form are the Stations of the Cross. Again, will be special because Jesus will once more be going through his passion with us. Can be a very powerful way to perform the Stations of the Cross. And the fourth form, Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The words, Eternal Father, I offer the precious body and blood, soul, and divinity of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for my sins and those of the whole world. And then for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For us, this can be a powerful expression and way of invoking the Father's mercy because his Son is saying the words with us. And then the fifth form can be your novenas, visits to the Blessed Sacrament, an hour of adoration. All these times of prayer take on the value of Jesus saying those prayers in us. Being in us as we visit him in the Eucharistic adoration. For more detailed information about praying of the divine will and the ways that we pray during the day, I refer you to my recorded conference on that subject, tape number 12. A number of you have them. How to pray in the divine will, its great blessings, and the enormous spiritual benefits for ourselves and for souls. Now, other blessings that come to us when we live in the divine will. This is volume 7, pages 34 to 5. When a person begins to live in the divine will more habitually, there comes a simplicity that spreads through that person's life. Life is not complicated because one learns to see the divine will in all that has been done or that happens to us. So there is a beautiful unity of life, and the center of it is the divine will, or a loving union with the Lord, that same thing. Jesus has high praise for the word simplicity. Not the word, but what it means. He says simplicity is to virtue what spice is to food. Now, you ladies are good at using spices. In other words, it adds a special taste and enjoyment to what is already good and tasty. God himself is infinitely simple. He's everywhere by his presence and power. Nothing and no one escapes from his hand. About the simple, plain soul, Jesus says, there are no keys or doors to enter into me or of me into there. This is because the soul can enter everywhere into me, and I into the soul. He compares the soul to the sun's light, which always remains light, gives light to everything, never changes, even when there are clouds. And when you're in a plane, you can see that. You're above the clouds, and there's the sun, strong as ever. Or its rays shine on some rock and filth. So the simple soul may be touched by mortification given by others to us and annoyance, but it does not stop being a light for itself and for whoever mortifies us. It does not Jesus explained, if the soul sees evil things, it is not stained. It always remains light, never changes. This is because simplicity is the virtue that most resembles a divine being. And only by this virtue does the soul come to participate in the other divine qualities. Namely, God's presence is everywhere. He sees the evil, but it doesn't affect him. See? And it's like people you've heard, they lived in a terrible, sinful environment, but they're not touched by it. Because they're very prayerful, they're close to God. There are no obstacles to divine grace entering and working in that person. Because the person we're talking about, being in the divine will, exerts a blessed influence and inspiration on those around them, even on those who may not like him. They cannot help but see the honesty, goodness shining through that person. The grace of God reaches out to them through that person. There are some, maybe because I'm wearing a collar, but they won't use profanity. I always take care they don't use them when I'm on the golf course. I tell them to say, praise the Lord. And I tell them who I am. And if they're so bad after the game, I'll give them absolution. Now again, Jesus explains a little more on this. He said simplicity fills the soul with grace, makes grace spread outside of the soul. Even if one wants to restrict this grace to himself, he cannot. Just as the Spirit of God, being most simple, spreads itself naturally everywhere without effort or any kind of weariness, so the soul who possesses the virtue of simplicity spreads grace into others without even being aware of it. We see the truth of these words in persons like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Pope John Paul II. They are so full of the Holy Spirit that they do not have to say a word. They're a walking sermon and a living image of Jesus. One immediately sees in them a holy soul and a reflection of Jesus' own person, another Christ. In volume 20, page 74, Jesus has the highest praise for our acts done of the divine will, namely the duties of our state along with our prayers and our celebration of the Mass. Keep in mind, your dishes are holy because they're God's will, dirty as they are. And the laundry that would walk away if you didn't wash it another day. Accepting the things that happen to us as from the divine will. He says, acts done in my divine will are so many chains of love that unite heaven and earth, the blessed and the creatures. The soul becomes the smile of heaven upon the earth. Each action enraptures its creator. At the same time, all the blessed in heaven are overjoyed, seeing that there is someone on earth who carries off the will of Jesus of heaven to take possession of it and to live in common with them. He concludes with, wherever that soul lives, a place of heaven is created. The smile of the heavenly fatherland that attracts the attention of all the blessed. How about that as a kind of compliment to those who live in the divine will? So both heaven and earth are blessed by such souls who live in the divine will because Jesus is working through them, praying, suffering, doing all the ordinary tasks of daily life. There is a divine influence there that exerts a powerful effect on people around them. Now that could be a young woman working in a store, just by being a checkout counter, just by the way she looks and the way she does things, quietly, efficiently, self-controlled, people are impressed right away. But without knowing it, her spirit is reaching out to the spirit of each person she meets through the eye, and there's a message given. And that's how God works on each of us. Why is it that you make a judgment before a person even speaks, and you're found to be right afterward? It's because your spirit discerned them with the aid of the Holy Spirit. See? By the look of that person, just the way they looked, the way they walked, and whatever. Volume 17, page 7071. Jesus here points out how important it is for the soul to fuse itself in the divine will and the blessing it brings to those in heaven as well as on earth. He said, fusing yourself in my will is to enter the ambience. I looked it up to be sure of what I'm talking about. It means the circle around you, the surroundings. The ambience of eternity. To embrace it, to enter the, to kiss it, and receive the deposit of the goods that the eternal will contains. Everyone comes to encounter it and to communicate to it all their goods and glory. All the angels and saints, the divinity itself, communicate, knowing that they communicate in that same will in which everything is safe. And upon receiving these goods, the soul multiplies them with its own actions in the divine will and gives to all of heaven double glory and honor. Thus, by fusing yourself in my will, you put heaven and earth in motion. It is a new feast and for all the empyrean of heaven. So he's saying, in other words, you can contribute in a sense with me to the joy of those in heaven. And that's something new. We think they're set for life, they have all the joy they need, and that's not what Jesus is saying here. So in the divine will, this is my comment, the soul is on God's level. What is done is also done by Jesus with the soul, and it takes on that value. Now, how God rewards such actions done of the divine will. He says, fusing oneself in my will is to love and give on behalf of everyone and each one. No one is excluded. So as not to be outdone in loving the creature, I deposit in my will the goods of everyone and all the goods I contain. If you knew what you do and what happens by fusing yourself in my will, you would die from the desire to fuse yourself continually with me. Now here we see that Jesus considers the action of fusing ourselves with the divine will as a way of loving God for all of mankind and for each person individually. No one is excluded. Now that adds another dimension to your prayer. You're not just an isolated person. God rewards such an act with immense generosity. The words he uses are amazing. He says, to fuse oneself in my will is to live in my will. The soul that fuses itself receives all my divine eternal goods as on deposit. The saints themselves contend to deposit their merits in the soul fused in my will because they feel in this same soul the glory and power of my will. They feel themselves glorified in the divine manner by the littleness of the creature. A person might be inclined to object to this and say, making of God, but the Lord said, the littleness of the creature. See, that scotches the idea that we're God. But the Lord does bring us into his life. Even by the very fact that he created our spirit, we are part of him, but not divine. But we have part of God. Yes. Now, how about living the divine will in union with Jesus? See, that's the large overall picture. When he says, I want to be your hands, your feet, your heart, your mind, is Jesus. Volume 3, page 148. Living in the divine will obviously means having Jesus live in us. Recall his words in another volume where we already quoted. They said, I want to be your hands, your feet, remember? Your heart, your mind, your desires, your thoughts. Now he says, try to live in me, for in me you will find all the virtues. And among them you will nourish yourself even to the fullness with their perfume. You yourself will do nothing but emanate light and heavenly perfume, because living in me is true virtue, and it has the power to give the soul the same form or image as the divine person in which it makes its home, transforming it into the same divine virtues in which it nourishes itself. So, if we allow Jesus to take over in our life, then our life will reflect his virtues, his person, his image, and the way he would do things. What Jesus is talking about is above all that a soul that lives habitually in the divine will. Most of us are in progress, beginning to experience something of what is said here. In volume 14, page 42, he explains how he continues his life in the soul that lives in the divine will. He says, to live in my will as no equal, there's no other spirituality better, see, nor is there a sanctity that even comes near it. It is real life, not a figment of one's imagination. This life of mine lives not only in the soul, but also in the body. Do you know how this life of mine is formed? First, my eternal will becomes the will of the soul. Here we're talking about a high level of holiness. And then my palpitations beating within his heart conceive my life. The soul's love, its sorrows, all its actions done in my will form my humanity. These make me grow to so much within the soul that I cannot remain hidden, and the soul cannot help but feel my presence. Don't you feel me alive within you? Here we see that Luisa is living in a high state of life in the divine will. And what is said here applies to her, but it will apply to those who may reach that state in the future. He added, all other sanctities will be small lights, but this new sanctity will be a great sun transfigured into his creator. That's unquote. Now, while this applies to souls in a high level of the divine will, on a lesser level, as we begin to live in the divine will in our daily life, Jesus does use us. Remember his words, I want to be your hands, feet. Well, what is that? He's using us. See? In other words, we are to grow more and more in allowing Jesus to be in us in this way by living the divine will in our daily duties. So, very simple. Keeps coming back to that. Let him be our hands, as you do all the work, your feet, as you travel, so forth. Volume 18, page 9 to 11, he explains in other words what he means. The soul living in my will is in the center of my humanity, and all that I did and suffered is around her and as a help for her. If she is weak, it administers strength to her. If stained, meaning by our faults, my blood washes her and embellishes her. My prayers sustain her. My arms hold her tightly, cover her with my words. Everything is for her defense and help. And he repeats, whoever lives in my will, living in the center of my humanity, takes all the fruits of all that I did and suffered and enters into the order of creation. And my will fulfills in that person the full purpose for which he or she was created. In other words, what Adam and Eve were intended to do when created in their innocence and with the gifts given them. First,
living in the divine will as they did all the time until they fell, and having open communication with God at all times. But now, the humanity of Jesus, that was not present when Adam was created. See? That's after the fall. And now the humanity of Jesus is part of this reason for our purpose on earth, to allow Him to live in us while we're on earth. Now, how do you obtain what we call living in the divine will? Volume 14, page 44, Jesus said, "The sanctity of living in my will has no pathway." In other words, there's no one path. It's all open. There are no keys. Don't have to have a key. There are no rooms. It permeates all, everyone, everything. It is like the air one breathes, an air that all can and should breathe. It suffices for a soul to desire it and put aside its own human will for the divine will to allow itself to be inhaled by the soul, to give that soul life, to give it the effects and all the benefits of life in my will. And of course, here Jesus is saying, it's easy to live in the divine will. Every desire, begin to do it. And with that, the divine will is present. But he adds, but if it is not known, if my divine will is not known, and living in it is not known, souls, how can souls love it and desire such a holy way of life? Living in my will is the greatest glory creatures can give me, because it means allowing Jesus to take over in our life, and the Father can't but be pleased with Jesus when he does in each one of us. It's very simple when you look at it for what the words really say. If we complicate it by saying, you know, this is very deep, I don't know whether I can get this, then we're beginning to complicate it. But if we take his words for what they are, then you have to admit, yes, if Jesus does it in me, then it has a divine worth. It's God who does it. We grant that to people who use the seven gifts of the Spirit. See, they only come into action through the Spirit, not us. We don't initiate it. The Holy Spirit does. So when he does it, it's done. It's a divine action. See, St. John of the Cross says that. How about union with God and blessed in heaven, living in the divine will? In other words, what's our relationship and interchange with them? He's now describing how God and the blessed in heaven are glorified by a soul living in the divine will. He says, this is volume 17, page 100, "Heaven yearns for souls on earth to live in the divine will because heaven knows how they glorify God so very much. So each action that the soul performs in my will is a kiss given to the Lord and is received from him who created it." A kiss received from the Lord and from all the blessed. Now, he describes this kiss. It is the transformation of the soul with his Creator. It is the possession of God in the soul and the soul in God. It is the growth of the divine will in the soul. It is the harmony of all heaven and the right of supremacy over all created things. Now here we have what St. John of the Cross describes about the transforming union with God. He said, in this union, what is God's belongs to the soul, and what is the soul's belongs to God. It can only be understood to any extent by the person who has experienced it, but cannot be explained to any great extent. But it is wonderful to know that this is the destiny of all of us who are called to union in love with our God. Truly, in such a soul, God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. On page 153, the same text, Jesus speaks of the life in the divine will for the soul, and it brings about a resemblance of the features of our Heavenly Father. He says, it surrounds us in a way so as to conserve us beautiful and holy as God created us, and always gives us renewed beauty, life, and uninterrupted love, which is only found in God. Note the words renewed beauty, meaning growing in beauty. Renewed life means that God's divine life continues to grow in that person. And renewed love, namely the happiness of heaven, is all what happen, it's all about. Maybe unending, unending, unlimited love forever. And now he describes the joy of the Blessed Trinity when the divine will operates in the soul, and he says, our will operating in a creature is so pleasing, tender, and amiable to us. It gives us new surprises. It puts in motion what is ours to give. The exchange of our glory, our love, and our happiness. How could we not love this birth of our volition, of our will? Volition and will mean almost the same thing there. See? Our will makes this creature amiable, gracious, beautiful to us, such that in no other person do we find this soul's prerogatives. He means the privileges, blessings, virtues. This is a work done by our very will with such mastery that it enchants heaven, makes the soul loved by everyone, and much more by the Most Holy Trinity. The operations of the Holy Trinity in such a soul are wonderful, mysterious, and beyond description. That's just my comment, that last sentence there. But we're on a very high level here. In other words, but if you read St. John of the Cross and the last book, The Living Flame of Love, you see the same words, but they not only apply to what he said at that time, a soul perfect in sanctifying grace. This is a soul now in God. See? Now, the soul in transforming union, John of the Cross, they're in God, but according to the Lord's own words, in sanctifying grace they are, but not in the divine will, as Jesus is saying, up on a higher level. Not because we earn it, but because he wants to give it. See? In volume 20, page 40, describing the state of living in the divine will, Jesus says, everything is shared between myself and whoever possesses my will. Now that's what we just heard. What belongs to me belongs to them. What they have belongs to me. Love, holiness, and light are shared. This soul is the child of the divine will, and so God considers as his true daughter with whom he delights, loves, and wants to possess everything. Here we have the sharing of the goods of the Creator with the creature, and that's what St. John of the Cross said in the Transforming Union. Now, we who are growing in the way of living in the divine will are continually being blessed and assisted by the Lord in our efforts. Jesus says, when we see that the soul is all intent and ready to make any sacrifice at all, we do not leave it alone. We work together. We furnish everything it needs, our will, our holiness, our actions, everything to increase our satisfaction, seeing that our child possesses so many properties. And my comment is, as the good Lord enriches the soul with virtues, blessed qualities, he's more and more pleased with it, and it increases his happiness over the soul, if you may put it that way. God, in other words, has perfect happiness. But he chooses to be pleased because of this. Now, what about our Blessed Lady's part in all this? See, in other words, she has a part. She's the mother of the divine will. She's the queen of heaven and earth. Queen of the divine will is another title. In volume 18, page 15, Mary said, you must know all that I did with my son, I intended to also do toward those souls that would live in the divine will, because these souls being in the divine will are disposed to receive all those actions which I did with Jesus. Now that's a new thing. And I found sufficient space to deposit them. Thus, if I kiss my son, I kiss them, because I found them together with him in his supreme will. They were as the first ones arrayed in him, and my mother's love urged me to let them share and whatever I did with my son. And that's an answer to what you were asking about some things in the future. They're already, before they happen, in the mind of God. Our Lady being on Jesus' level, even at that stage, all we who were to follow, she saw that. And God used that. So the kiss she gave him, she gave to us before we came into existence.
Everything spiritual is really outside of time.
Yeah. In the spiritual world, of God. Yeah, things are timeless. Here Our Lady's telling us that she shares all the blessed and holy actions of her life with Jesus, but shares them with those who are living in the divine will and who will live in the divine will. Who can express how this helps those souls as they journey on their way in this life on earth? Mary adds, great graces are necessary for whoever must live in this holy will. I have put at their disposition all my goods, my graces, my sorrows, to help them for defense, for strength, support, for life. And I felt happy and most greatly honored to have for my children the children of the will of the Heavenly Father. She means us, those who are now coming into this new way which the Lord is inviting us to prepare for the new Pentecost, and the ones who will come after that. And so I looked upon them even as births of mine. So these souls, these future children, in virtue of the divine will operating in them, are those who implore us incessantly for salvation and grace for the future generations. See, we're involved in praying for those that are coming. They are with Jesus, and Jesus in them, and they repeat together with Jesus what he contains. That's a quotation. Now, here I'm saying, Our Lady says everything here, that she gives all that she has to help her children as they seek to live in the divine will. Now, that fits into the consecration to Our Lady. Whichever you choose, Bernie de Montfort or the Carmelite form with a scapular as your form of consecration. Everything you place in her hands. Well, again, that was in the stratosphere. But I hope some of this registered, but it shows you, in other words, what avenues of union with God are open to us and God's plans, and you'd have to say it's just fabulous. Yes?
Father, the Holy Mass that's the most important prayer.
It is the greatest act of worship on earth.
Right. Now, now we try to read our Bible and we say our prayers. Those are all extra.
You mean after Mass, before Mass?
Or before Mass. So, I mean, to fit everything in one day. What's I'm trying to read my Bible and go to, you get into a pattern. I mean, you try to get yourself into a pattern to do all these things.
You're talking about the Christian prayer.
And that would be a perfect way to prepare for the best Christian prayer. But you're talking about disposing yourself and putting yourself in the best frame of mind for the Mass.
Yeah.
Which would be maybe saying your rosary too before Mass, or some other devotions.
Well, we say the rosary at the Mass.
Well, that's good too.
I say the Stations of the Cross before Mass.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It seems to me that, with all you've said, we should have great confidence after we say this prayer in your will. I do this. Whatever we do, we should have. Great, like I picture Joan of Arc going into battle in his will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was invincible.
Yeah, I think we should have great confidence in what we attempt after saying this prayer.
Mm-hmm. There could be, in other words, when the Lord wants it, like you're in their bullets everywhere, but you're they're not hitting you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Lord says, he's sending them elsewhere. But when you're under the power of God, whatever he wants is done. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there were martyrs, and Jesus is martyred. Our Lady was martyred too. Not in body, but she went through it. So she's queen of martyrs. But when all that we do, Jesus is saying, I'm doing it. So let that sink in. That means nothing that you do then when you're in the divine will is not unimportant. It is very precious. Because Jesus is doing it.
Saved spiritually, but actually, you can still be hurting.
Yes. Well, in other words, our crosses are part of his life too. Yes, we suffer with him, or he suffers with us again.
And one of the old actors sang so beautiful.
really, and it touches the heart, and then people will be doubling around in the public, going into the supermarkets, and people, they're like animals. I'm telling you.
Well, they were that way with Jesus, too. The Pharisees, they were heckling him, and they were even trying to kill him. They're not trying to kill us yet.
I'm pushing the cart, and then I get on the line, and the line is from here to New York City. And we stand there. Then a guy comes along. This just happened the other day. I said a few words to him. And my Italian temper came up. And I'm standing there. I had to wait. He's in the back of me, and he's pushing the cart, pushing my cart into me. I didn't say a word. I didn't say nothing. I just was trying to hold the peace. And then before you know it, within...